welcome to the second episode of Cause and Effect, a cosplay podcast, part of the White Dragon Podcast Network. My name is Becky Adams, otherwise known as Actress, and I will be your host on this journey through the magical world of cosplay. Now, what is cosplay? It is literally the art of costume play, from creation to becoming the character, to going out and doing photo shoots, attending conventions, you name it. Think of it as Halloween 24/7. And with that, I would love to introduce my next guest. Her name is Steph Von Schweetz. She's been cosplaying since 2003 and has nearly 200 costumes under her belt. She prides herself in being self-taught in all aspects of the hobby and is probably one of the nicest cosplayers I've met on the scene. I've been lucky to be able to be in a few groups with her at this point, and by the end of this interview, I think that you all will love her just as much as I do. So, with all of that being said, welcome, Steph. How are you doing, Steph?
I'm doing pretty well, just tired, busy, working a lot.
What are you working on currently? Anything cosplay related?
Oh yeah, we have a Super Toy Con here in Vegas in a few days, and I thought it'd be a real smart idea to make a full bunny suit Tracer from Overwatch in a week.
Wow.
And not recommending that to anybody who's listening.
You know, it's funny, you're my second guest on this podcast so far, and both of you have talked about last minute cosplay.
Yeah, you know, that wasn't the plan. I was going to play it really easy, but then my best friend, Mel, Wind of the Stars, was like, we should do something together. I'm working on Bunny Diva. And I was like, aw, nuts. Now I have to make Tracer in a week. You should have told me this 3 weeks ago.
That's typically, I think, how it usually works. Somebody's like, oh, hey, this is a great idea. And it's like, oh, that's too good of an idea to say no to.
Yeah, why can't those ideas be like a month away, though? Like, why can't we have good ideas come in advance?
Yeah, that would be awesome. Because we're just too creative.
Clearly. We just have to drop everything we're doing and then scramble and cry a lot. And who needs sleep? It's fine.
Yeah. So tell me how you got into cosplay to begin with.
So I've always really loved dressing up and being creative. I loved Halloween as a kid. And during, like, school spirit days in school, I'd always be that person who went over the top and was weird about it. So when a friend of mine back in 2003 asked me to go to Anime Expo with her, I had no idea what that even was. I've always really enjoyed anime and nerd culture, but I didn't know what conventions were. So I literally went home and Googled it, and the Wikipedia page for Anime Expo was like the first thing that came up other than like Anime Expo. And I was like, okay, what's this? And then it has the hyperlinks within Wikipedia, and one of them was cosplay. And I was like, what is this magical thing called cosplay? And then it just opened my eyes to this world. And I was like, this is me. This was made clearly, specifically just for me. So I dressed up for my very first Anime Expo back in 2003, and it's been a long time, and I haven't stopped.
What character did you do when you first got into it?
It was from a series called Dot Hack Sign, which was on Cartoon Network at the time, and it was Mimiru. And oddly enough, like, that wasn't an easy costume, and it was one of the more revealing costumes I've ever done, oddly enough. Because it was one of those, like, boob armor bra things. And she has, like, a loincloth and a giant sword. And I was like, I don't know how to do any of this. And it was an experience making that because I didn't know how to sew. So my mom helped me a lot making it. And my dad helped me with the prop. And we didn't have, like, Warbla or these thermoplastics back then. I mean, we had thermoplastics back then, but they weren't used in cosplay. Like, we didn't think of it. So I made the armor pieces like I would a pillow, so they were stuffed. And like, I didn't have a wig because wigs weren't really a thing back then, so I just used my real hair. And she has all of these markings on her body. I didn't even use body paint. I used like straight up acrylic paint. and my giant sword was like a tiny one made out of styrofoam.
That's awesome.
It was so horrible looking back at it, but I had so much fun. I was like, I don't care. I'm going to do this. It's going to be great.
I love how we refer to back then, like the good old days back in 2003.
You know, where you were back. Really cool with your cardboard armor.
Back in my day.
It really was, because, like, I hate to say it, but, like, kids these days don't really understand the struggles we went through to get something that wasn't even accurate.
Yeah.
Like, Joann's didn't have the fabric selection it has today. It was pretty much all quilter's cotton, and you didn't have wigs, and if you did buy a wig, it was seriously from Party City, and it was in one of the 5 neon colors. Yes. So there was no way you could ever actually get an accurately colored wig unless you were willing to spend hundreds of dollars. You couldn't just go to eBay and buy like a super cheap Chinese costume. Those things were like $500 for like a Hatsune Miku outfit that was super basic. Like, it was so much more difficult, and the internet didn't really have as big or as many of resources as it does now, because it was still kind of just starting up. So all we really had was cosplay.com, and that was still very new. Mm. So people really didn't have like YouTube tutorials or like basic help forums on how to make things. Yeah. It was just like, well, here we go. Trial and error. Hope this doesn't fall apart, which it usually did, because you had things held together with duct tape and hot glue and hopes and dreams.
I guess, you know, that actually brings me to my next question, is how do you choose your characters? How do you decide, okay, that's the one that I'm going to put all my hopes and dreams into?
So for me, I've always just liked characters, however they looked, however gender they are or whatever. It was just always based off characters that resonated with me somehow. So my mom, because I always used to dress up for Halloween, she was very like, oh, let's make our Halloween costumes and these are going to be cool. So my mom always used to do like the villain. So she was Jafar from Aladdin when I was Jasmine. So I never viewed dressing up as having to be your whatever you'd identify gender wise. So like, I started cosplaying and like, I didn't think that was weird. It was just normal for me to just be like, oh, well, I like this character, so I'm going to dress as them. So, but it's always been based off of how much I enjoy the character or what I see in myself and in the character. There have been a couple that have been purely aesthetic reasons or to fit into the group, but it hasn't been like, man, I hate this character, but I guess I'll do it anyway. Like, there's always been some aspect that I loved with the character that has resonated with me.
Yeah, that's really cool. And that is something, I mean, you're very well known for your Levi cosplay from Attack on Titans. Very, very well known for this. And I think that's something that a lot of cosplayers, you know, that's still something that's a little bit new out there, I think, is the whole cosplay or figuring out what kind of character you want to be and not really worrying about body type or skin color or gender or any of that. Can you talk a little bit more about that and what you would kind of say to maybe cosplayers out there who really, really love a character but just feel they don't quite fit in their own mind?
I mean, I think that's something we all struggle with, even outside of cosplay on a day-to-day basis, just fitting in and trying to figure yourself out. But at the end of the day, you're not in this hobby to for other people. You're doing it because you like the character or the series or want to have fun with your friends. So even for me, I don't necessarily like to go out of my body type just because it's not something I'm personally always comfortable with, because it's something I personally struggle with. That doesn't mean other people can't do that. But for me, it's a personal struggle. But last year I did Alucard from the series Hellsing. Mm. And Alucard's like this like 6 foot something tall dude. I'm just like, I'm like barely over 5 feet tall. How am I doing this? But it's something I've always wanted to do because I love the series. And I was like, you know what? Just screw it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to wear these really big shoes with giant platform heels. So it makes me look a little taller. And I'll tailor it in a way that makes me a bit more slimming so I at least have the visual effects. And, you know, I'm going to work the camera angles to make myself appear taller. And I'm just going to do whatever I have to do, even if I'm visually not, like, 6 foot tall man. Like, I'm going to do whatever I can to try to portray that. And I was happy with the results. And that's all that really matters to me.
Yeah.
But, like, I dress as a dude all the time, and clearly I'm not a dude. Like, sure, I'll dress like a guy, but it's kind of whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, as long as I'm happy with the outcome, then that's all that really matters to me. And even, like, when I dress as a girl, like, that's really hard because people will scrutinize you. It's like, oh, well, you don't have the voluptuous body that this character has. How dare you? And I'm like,
yeah.
Sorry. That's a fictional character. So if you're hung up on these fictional characters, fictional proportions, then that says more about you than for me. So I'm happy doing this cosplay. So you should just get over yourself.
And that's a really good message. And that's really what it does come down to. It's all about having fun at the end of the day.
Exactly. If you're not having fun in your costume, don't wear it. Like, take it off, put on something you're comfortable with, and just focus on having a good time.
Definitely. Now, you do everything. Like you said, you've been self-taught in all aspects. And of course, we all know in cosplay, that kind of means Renaissance man. You know, you do your props, you do wigs, you do shoes, you do everything. So how do you approach your cosplay? Do you start with the props first? Do you do the sewing first? What's your method?
I usually YOLO it. I feel like that's the worst answer I could possibly give. I've always been one to kind of see shapes in my head and kind of figure things out in my head versus, like, going based off a pre-existing pattern, because I have no idea how to actually read a pattern. So when I buy them from, like, Joann's or something, I usually get them strictly for the shapes that they offer and tweak them, but I have no idea how to read it.
Wow.
So I just kind of figure out, because I've always been very good at math, just like figuring out how different shapes will work together for my body type and altering and going from there. I usually do the things that I'm most excited about first, just because if I'm passionate about something, I usually get something done much quicker.
Yeah.
Even if it's like, oh, well, I really like this. And then I'll get really sidetracked by, like, someone else being like, hey, Steph, we should do this. And we're like, you're right. And I, like, shove everything to the side and work on this new project. And then everything's half-assed at this point. Like, oh, no. But, like, I jump around a lot, even though I try to get one thing done at a time. So things actually do get done. I am very strict with, like, a list on what things, like, especially like a week before a convention, I will write out things I want to get done day to day. So I stay on a schedule. But for the most part, I try to keep myself mentally stimulated, because, like, on this bunny suit that I've been working on, like, that's been incredibly difficult because bunny suits just have to be so tailored specifically to you that I've been getting really frustrated just working on patterning everything out. So I just had to be like, nope, we're going to work on, like, the ears or the collar, or I'm going to work on the accelerator or something else so that I can keep my mind focused and I'm still being productive in my work. And then I'll go back to the actual suit pattern, because it was just getting frustrating.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be getting anywhere if I was just sitting there mad at staring at it.
Yeah, definitely. Now, what are some of, like, the product, your favorite products or favorite websites that you go to automatic, like, bookmarked when you're cosplaying?
I don't really have, like, an automatic place to go. In terms of if I end up buying a costume, it'll usually just be, like, searching around eBay or Amazon or, like, Google searching to see who has the better prices or quality. For wigs, I go to Arda a lot. Just because I have one of their rings with all the different hair colors, so it's really easy to identify a specific color that I need. But a lot of times Arda is sold out, or they have slow shipping times, or they're really booked, so I don't always get things in time if I'm on a crunch time.
Right.
So, or again, Arda is a little on the expensive side as well. Like, they have good products, so it's worth it if you want like a thick, beautiful wig for spiking and things like that. But if I'm looking at something that is going to be really short and doesn't really matter if the fibers are like thick or whatever, like, I'll seriously just eBay it. It'd be like $10 free shipping and you get it in like a month. But that's fine if it's like far out.
Right, exactly. So at least you know.
It varies from product and whatever project. I know that's everywhere, but it's like, ah.
So is there a skill in cosplay or a something that you've seen that you want to learn or want to get into but haven't yet?
I really want to try casting and molding. I've done a little bit of like resin stuff just on like the domes and like gems, like really, really basic things. But I've always been so horrible at sculpting. I don't know what it is. I remember I did a Gajinka Leafeon. There was like a whole Eevee evolution of Sailor Scouts, and I did Leafeon. And I was trying to sculpt a leaf out of clay, and you wouldn't think a leaf is hard, but it was horrible. Like, I don't understand how I couldn't make a simple little leaf, but I couldn't, and it was really horrible. So if someone could like teach me how to properly sculpt something, I don't even know if you can teach somebody. I feel like that's just an art that you have an eye for or don't. But learning more into like the different types of moldings and castings, so even like if I had something and then I could remold it and so I can make 10 of them or something, like, I think that'd be a really cool skill to have.
Definitely. You do a lot of group cosplays. How do you get involved in the groups? Do you like doing groups? Do you like doing solo? What's your favorite kind of way to cosplay?
I love doing groups because it's a great way to do what you love with the people you love. And it's also a great way to meet new people. Unfortunately, groups don't always pan out how you want them to. So, like, I don't want to discourage anybody or say that I don't like groups, but a lot of times they don't play out how you want them to. And a lot of people end up flaking, and it becomes very frustrating, especially if you're all trying to match. And there's a lot more work that goes into doing a group than opposed to if you're just doing something on your own, and because you just have to hold yourself accountable, not everybody else involved. But I think that when you do a group, it's more rewarding because you did put all that extra time and effort, and everybody kind of put their heart and soul into something to create this awesome group where everyone matched and everyone looked great and you're all on point and you're all having this great time once you're there in the costumes. So I feel like it's a bit more rewarding, but like, it doesn't always happen. You know, if no one wants to join me in shenanigans in my dumb group, then that's okay. I'm just going to do it on my own anyway. Like, if someone wants to join me later, that's cool too. Like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Just keep going out having fun.
Yeah. So my final question before we jump into the game is, what advice would you give to people out there who are considering cosplay, maybe you've done a few things, and really kind of want to jump into it full force?
I think a lot of people are scared to jump into cosplay, not even in terms of like making something, because it's so easy to buy things now, but in terms of like the social media aspect that is now involved with the cosplay scene. Because I've talked to people before and they're like, well, now I have to make a Facebook page and now I have to have this public appearance and a username that people know me by. And I'm just like, whoa, calm down. You don't need all of that. Like, just do it. Try it out. Have fun your first time. Don't worry about it. Don't even worry about getting photos back or shooting with a cool photographer or anything. Just wear the costume and feel good about yourself. And know that, hey, you did something that a lot of people wouldn't. Deal with whatever comes later when that happens. If cosplay is something you want to continue doing, then be like, oh yeah, let me figure out how to do a good shoot and get photos of this costume. Or let me figure out a username and put myself out there so I can meet new people and start doing guest work or promotions or something like that. Like, figure that out, but just do it first. You're never going to know if you're actually going to enjoy it unless you actually go out and try. So if you like it, great. Have fun. Keep doing it to however extent you want. And if you don't, that's okay too. But that means you don't have to worry about all the things that come next either. So just keep doing it for yourself and have fun.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That was like such a roundabout way of saying everything. It's like,
No, it's true. I think that, you know, with social media and with all the pressure that we see nowadays in the cosplay world, people forget that the word is cosplay. Play is in there. And I think that's the most important part of that word.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about being sexy or having the best prop. Like, worry about those things if you want to worry about them later. Just go out and do it.
Yes.
Just have fun and experience it.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. We're going to jump into the game now.
Oh, boy.
If you've ever seen Behind the Actor's Studio with James Lipton, where...
I have before.
Okay. I'm stealing this from him.
Okay.
He actually stole it from Bernard Pivot. Used to have a show. It was a French show called Bouillon de Culture. I don't speak French, so that was...
How dare you?
That was completely wrong. but he stole it, and now I'm going to steal it. So we're going to do a little question and answer series here.
Okay.
All right. So I have to get in the James Lipton like position though. So
hold on.
just imagine me in a big comfy chair looking at you sternly.
Okay. Right now.
Great.
I'm so serious.
All right. Steph, what is your favorite word?
Butts? I don't know. That was the first thing that came to mind.
That says so much about you in that first question.
I was like the first thing that literally popped into my mind is butts. I'm like, well, we're going to go with that.
All right. Okay, well, that leads me to the next one. What is your least favorite word?
I just thought of pistachio, and I don't even know why. I love pistachios. I don't know. A lot of people don't like moist, but I don't really care. I don't know. Oh, God. I don't. We're only on question two, and it's not even hard, and I'm overthinking it. Least favorite word. I don't know. I'm just going to go with pistachio.
Pistachio. So butts are your favorite, and pistachio, not so much.
People are going to listen to this and be like, what drugs are Steph on?
Okay, next question. What turns you on creatively?
Probably a challenge, something that I've never attempted before. Cause I feel like I do a lot of the same things, but then I'm like, ooh, this is new. Let me try this and then fail miserably, but it was still fun to try it out nonetheless.
Definitely. Okay. With that being said, what turns you off?
I'd say repetition of design. I mean, I've done a million and 10 school uniforms, but like, I mean, when it comes to characters, when you have the, like the color schemes that are so obvious, like the girl with the pink hair who wears all the pink and white and has pink eyes and she's all pink. And then you have the purple girl who's all purple. And I'm just like, oh my God, can you try to have some creativity in this color scheme? In this dynamic.
It's like the new Starbucks drinks, pink drink, purple drink, yellow drink.
Yeah. It was just like, can we mix this up a little bit? Like the girl with the black hair doesn't have to be brooding. Okay. Like do something different, unique.
Definitely. All right. What is a noise that you love?
A noise that I love. Oh, the ticking of clocks. I really like clocks a lot. So I have a bunch of different clocks. I actually have a clock in almost every room of my house, and they all tick, and my boyfriend hates it. I'm just like, no, just let me have this moment.
So you are not Captain Hook. We know this for a fact.
Noted.
And what is a noise that you hate?
Nails on a chalkboard?
Yeah, that's a pretty crappy noise. What is a profession other than your own that you would like to attempt?
I actually always wanted to be a writer, like writing novels and comics and fiction. I actually have a degree in English, but it just didn't happen.
That's why
it's good. At some point, it's not like you don't, like, the world says you're not allowed to write. So if I write, I write. And if something happens, then that's cool too.
That's awesome. Our producer is actually a writer of novels. Yes. And that's why you're so well-worded and well-spoken, is that English degree kind of came in handy for you.
Well, that was the hope, but I think I'm better well-written than spoken.
Now, what's a profession that you would not like to do?
Anything that involves heights or math. Even though I'm really good at math, but I hate math a lot.
Yeah. I'm right there with you on that one. Although I'm not good at it. I just hate it.
Yeah.
So if there is an afterlife, what would you like to hear the greeter say to you when you get to the afterlife?
I've always imagined that if there was an afterlife, it'd be like your own personal paradise if you did well in the world. Obviously, not obviously if you were a terrible person, you wouldn't get a paradise. But if all things, you know, go according to plan and I live this life well, I'd imagine that there would be a lot of desserts and garlic bread, and that I'd finally have the ability to have my own Oddish from Pokemon. And so he's just like, Steph, I've been waiting for you. And he just gives me an Oddish and a bunch of fatty foods. And he's like, welcome.
You need to come to Maine, dude. There are Oddishes everywhere. Not real life.
My life, just a herd, just a whole field of them. Just so happy, just jumping around.
Okay, who is your favorite hero?
Are we talking about like real life comics?
Oh, I guess kind of however you see it. The word hero. What does that mean to you? And who is your favorite one?
Oh, man. Well, because it's interesting in comic books, I've always liked the sidekick characters because they weren't perfect heroes. Like, they still had a lot of growing to do. So I actually always really enjoyed Dick Grayson, who was the original Robin and Nightwing, just because he has so many flaws as a human, and that makes him very personable and relatable. So someone who tries hard to do the right thing and doesn't always succeed, but still is willing to learn from their mistakes and keep going. So awesome. Someone like that.
Yeah. Who is your favorite villain?
I don't know if there's one villain per se, but I always find villains who think they are doing the right thing interesting. So they're on this path because they think it's the right path with all of their heart. So they're putting all of their heart and soul into whatever they're doing, even if it's morally wrong, but they don't view it that way. They're just so skewed into thinking that. So they're not out for like revenge or whatever. It's just a pure burning passion that just happens to be morally wrong and not so great. But they think that everything is going right for them. I feel like there have been characters like that, but for some reason, I'm not thinking of any off the top of my head. That's making me really frustrated.
I think Moriarty from Sherlock always comes to mind.
I've never seen Sherlock.
Oh my gosh, you need to watch it. It's so amazing.
I know, I suck.
It's one of those characters like that, that just his whole purpose in life is to just be the antithesis of this, of Sherlock. But so clever too.
Yeah.
I think villains who are clever are the best.
Yeah, like I'm probably going to think of somebody in the middle of the night. I'm going to end up messaging you and I'm like, can you put this on there?
My next episode, I'm going to start off before I even do my next interview. I'm going to be like, and just as an aside.
Steph wanted you all to know that this is who she was thinking of.
That's awesome. Okay, so that brings us to the conclusion. And before we leave, A, I wanted to say thank you so much for being a guest. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Ah, anytime. And then finally, I need you to let everybody know where they can find you and follow you and stalk you.
I am on the internet, known as Steph Von Schweetz. That's pretty much my handle on everything. The only thing I think is different is Twitter, and that's Steph Von Tweets, because apparently Steph Von Schweetz is too long for a Twitter name. So we had to get a little creative. But it's Steph Von Schweetz on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, YouTube, anything else you can think of, pretty much.
Awesome possum. Well, with that, we're gonna say bye-bye. And
bye.
See you later. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning into Cause and Effect, a cosplay podcast here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. Be sure to tune in to next week's podcast. But in the meantime, follow me on Facebook at Rebecca Denise Actress. You can find me on Twitter at Actress. And basically, if you Google Actress, A-K-T-R-E-Z, you'll probably find me. In the meantime, keep being creative, keep making magic, and I'll see you real soon.